It's time for the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell on 96.7 FM KBBE. This is your chance to hear from all the area high school coaches. Get the inside information right here on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show with the best interviews from the McPherson High School coaches as well as the other area coaches every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. The Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is brought to you by FIMCO, Home State Bank, a part of Citizens State Bank, Next Tech Wireless, Alliance Agency, Art Shirt, The Well, McPherson and Lindsberg Concrete, the Lindsberg Quarterback Club, and Perkins Family Restaurant. Now let's get to it. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Welcome into the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show, show number 7. Good morning on a Saturday morning. The weather is cool. We've had a lot of winning going on this weekend and a lot of weird games. I was on a show yesterday that was talking about how weird this week was for high school sports, and certainly we had the weird part of it. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and Steve, I don't know if this was one of the weirder nights for you when it comes to covering high school football, but with all the early starts, with the way McPherson's game ended at 7:30 with about 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, I don't know. It was one of the weirder nights across the state.
And it really was. And Smoky Valley's game ended after a quarter. Apparently, they ran out to a 22-0 lead against Lions. And Lions says, we can see where this is headed. And the weather, they had tornado warnings over there. So they call that game. But at our game, I don't think I've ever covered a McPherson High game that ended early. We've had some rain delays where we picked it up the next day and things like that, but never early. Just right after halftime, the Bullpups used a big second quarter to get out to a 35-0 lead. And actually, I think Coach Pavlovich was a little disappointed The game was called. He understood why it was called, but he would have really liked to seen the game play to the end because he had some guys he wanted to take a look at and get some reps in before we went to district play because, the first six games really are kind of for experimentation to get ready for the second season, even though you are trying to win a league title. And he wanted to take a look at a lot of guys that he didn't get a chance to play last night.
Well, not only that you don't get some of the people in the game, but also, and this may not be important to some coaches, it might be important to some, but statistics are a little bit off, where Bueller and May South and those teams, they got to play a full game, their players got to get more tackles, they got to pick up more yards, and so when it comes to the end of the season, when we're looking at all-league, all-state players, you look at some of the guys that could be at the top, and Jace Alexander, Colin Gearing, they miss out on about 10 tackles, and that could make a difference.
Well, that's true, but also you can look at it this way. McPherson was up 35-0. I think the starters might have played maybe one or two more series, and that probably would have been it. But, it's all about the team with the Bullpups, and that's the thing that makes this team so fun to watch. They've just got so many guys that contribute on the offensive end, on the defensive end. They're so versatile, like Coach Pavlovich said. We can play guys at different positions. They understand what we're doing. We saw a new defense last night, experimented. They went to a three-man line at times last night, which allowed Michael Mendez to kind of be there in that second line, kind of roving around, and he was in attack mode. I thought he was fantastic last night.
Game.
But that front three of Seidel, Lisbon, and Stufflebean,
boy,
I tell you what, you talk about a physical front. Khalil Lisbon got his first start at defensive tackle last night. He's about 235, 40 pounds. He gives that defense a different look with his physical presence. He's still raw, and they don't play him all the plays, but they just put him out there, turn him loose, and tell him to go tackle the football.
It was a good night for high school football in this area. Unfortunately, one of those teams had to lose because there was a matchup within our area teams, and the greatest rivalry west of the Mississippi, as Steve likes to say, in Mound Ridge and Inman, and I think you were a little bit surprised by that score.
Yeah, I really was.
44-8.
Yeah, 44-8, Mound Ridge, 565 yards of offense for the Wildcats, who at times have really struggled this year offensively. Jared Kaufman, what a show he put on last night, 288 yards rushing. Mason Dick had a fine all-around game. Peyton Fraze threw for 208 yards in defeat for the Teutons. Good to see them get their passing game going. But Mound Ridge took a big step towards securing a postseason berth last night. And they're still in line to possibly win the district championship. I think it's going to come down to their game with Sedgwick.
And we also had the Smoky Valley victory over Lions, 22-0 in the middle of the first quarter. And so we will talk with head coach Tim Lambert of the Vikings, the 5-1 Vikings, coming up at about 8:30. And Heston got back into the win column after really getting killed by Smoky Valley last week. They beat Kingman 30-14, so the Swathers are now 3-3. And then at the eight-man level, Canton Galva picked up a 66-32 win against St. John, so they are now 3-3. And we'll hear from Canton Galva coach Shelby Hoppus at about 8:45. And then Little River, unfortunately, was the only team to lose besides Inman. They lost 52-12 to Central Plains, who might be one of the best teams at eight-man.
And that score is very deceiving because Little River only trail 14-6 at halftime.
Wow.
They went toe-to-toe with Central Plains, but Central Plains' depth kind of took over. 24 points in the third quarter for Central Plains, which is generally regarded as one of the top two or three teams in the class. But good to see Little River at least put up a really good fight for a half. They took the game to the end. There was no point rule in that one. And, you know, Central Plains, I think, has pretty much point ruled everybody except for their season opening loss to Victoria, which, of course, is one of the top teams in the state. So really good night for the area teams. Really happy to see Canton Galva bounce back. You know, they played that Central Plains team last week, got beat 60-0. And then, you know, they get blank last week. They score 66 this week. Big night for Dylan Wood. 4 touchdowns, 109 yards rushing. And getting back to that Smoky Valley game, you talk about stats getting skewed. Kyle Anderson, who's been putting up, you know, 170, 180 yards a game, he only had 59 yards rushing. But that game, Smoky Valley had their 22 points within the first 8 minutes of the game. So maybe Lions just saw which way the game was headed and said, why should we just go ahead and take a drubbing? Let's just call it right now. So Smoky Valley, a big game next week with Rock Creek. They lost, I believe, to Rock Creek last year. But the Vikings really looking like one of the best teams in 4A Division II.
And the eight-man teams are already into district play with their five-man districts. But the 4A schools, and as well as the 3A, getting into districts coming up this week for Week 7, 8, and 9. McPherson's district at Hayes, Wamego at home, Abilene at home. That's going to be an interesting district for this team because I think coming into this year, we thought that this district might be very tough. And I think that we might have thought that Hayes might have been the worst team of the district, but now as we sit here on the verge of Week 7, I think it's the opposite. I think Hayes is the best team in this district, besides McPherson, obviously, and then Abilene and Wamego have been down a little bit from what we anticipated.
I haven't checked out what Abilene and Wamego did last night. They were both 2-3 going into the game, but like you said, Hayes, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. We've kind of put it on Hayes the last few years, ever since, and we even beat them when Alex Delton was here. So Hayes used to dominate the Bullpups back in the old days, but McPherson's evened up the score. And, of course, that long trip to Hayes, you never know how kids are going to react. And one thing that's been interesting about the Bullpups in their last two games, they've come out and just scored just lickety-split. I mean, just like that. But on the first series, both Circle and Rose Hill just went right down the field but couldn't get it into the end zone, and then the McPherson defense played well after that. Last night, Rose Hill had 56 yards of offense on that first drive. There was a couple Bullpup personal fouls in there too, and then after that, they were minus 7 yards the rest of the game. So the McPherson defense really settled in after that first series.
So yesterday, Hayes lost to Dodge City in a low-scoring game. I think it was 12-7. And then Wamego beat Concordia, and Abilene was blown out by Clay Center 48-6. So going into districts, that would make Hayes 2-4, Wamego 3-3, and Abilene 2-4, while McPherson is 5-1. And I think it's not a matter of if they will make the playoffs, but if they can win all three games, lock up that district title. And at this point, I don't know who's going to win between Andale and Bueller for the other district that they match up with. Andale picked up a massive win last night, beating Collegiate 35-7.
I saw the highlights.
Undefeated.
I saw the highlights of that game, and Andale just has a crushing ground game. One thing Andale has that we have not seen, they got, now we've seen some big guys up front,
mm-hmm.
but they're big and fast. Andale's all about speed. And that Buehler-Andale game is going to be fascinating. Buehler, the weather must have played a factor. They only won 24-6 last night. So
and they started at 7 o'clock. They did not have
to play. They did not have to. They played the whole game, and only 24-6. Dalton Brown had a big game, and I'm starting to think maybe Buehler, when you look at their game stats, it's Dalton Brown and not much else right now. If Andale can find a way to slow down Dalton Brown like the Bullpups did, they've got a shot to win that game. They've kind of owned Andale in recent years, but I'm really going to be looking forward to that game. But the Bullpups got to take care of their own business. The Abilene score, I can't remember who you said they played.
Clay Center.
Clay Center. That really surprised me. Abilene has been undefeated. We've always played them first, it seems like, in the district, and they've always been 6-0. But it's been a long time since they struggled. They just don't have the skill position players as they've had in the past. Of course, they had Harley Hazlett at quarterback. They had Ryan Wilson at quarterback, two All-State-type quarterbacks. This year, they don't have that great quarterback play, and it showed with a losing season. It's been a long time since Abilene's been 2-4 after 6 weeks.
And Mays South also won last night at Winfield, 49-21. The Bullpups did not score against this Mays South team, and Winfield was able to put up 21 points. I talked with one of their assistant coaches, Connor Bouchard, who's the head boys basketball coach over there, and he said, you know, we scored 14 of those 21 against the first team. And that was a little surprising to me. He said they had one play go over the top that was a nice play, and especially against Mays South secondary, it's a little bit surprising. But I think that he noted that when it comes to the intensity level of a game, it's a little bit different with Mays South preparing for Winfield than it is with McPherson.
Yeah, and I still think that that 9-0 score was kind of an aberration. I think if we do somehow meet Mays South again in the playoffs, I think the Bullpups will be able to move the ball because Kyler Hoppus has really settled in at quarterback, and the offensive line has matured every week. And, of course, Jace Kinnaman gives you that 100-yard game almost every week.
Well, it was a hard time to get to 100 yards yesterday when they only had 6 possessions to do it. So the bus doesn't extend his 100-yard game streak to 3, but the Bullpups do win 35-0. Coming up after the break, we will hear from Coach Jace Pavlovich and his post-game audio, as well as recap the Bullpups' 35-0 win last night over the Rose Hill Rockets, who were a depleted team, and we'll dive into that here in just a moment. So coming up after the break, we talk about those Bullpups and what they need to do going into district play to walk out of week 9 with an 8-1 record. We'll be back after this. You're listening to the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show on 96.7 FM KBBE.
The Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is brought to you by FIMCO, Home State Bank, a part of Citizens State Bank, Next Tech Wireless, Alliance Agency, Art Shirt, The Well, McPherson and Lindsberg Concrete, the Lindsberg Quarterback Club, and Perkins Family Restaurant.
Welcome back into the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and you are not listening to According to Jim, although you can listen Mondays through Friday, 12:30 to 1. And Steve, we had a good first week of shows, didn't we?
Yeah, we really did. Had a lot of fun. Had a little participation from a couple callers. And there's so much sports going on. 30 minutes almost isn't enough. It seems like you and I look up at the clock and it's 12:57. It just seemed like we got started. So make sure you listen to According to Jim, 12:30 to 1. Every single day, Monday through Friday, we can't keep it. It's kind of an entertaining look at sports, and like I said, it's a fast-paced show, and it really moves fast.
Yeah, we like that. Well, the Bullpups won 35-0 over Rose Hill in a game that was played only about 29 minutes. They got 5 minutes into the second half, into that third quarter. The Bullpups scored a touchdown, and we were keeping our eye on the weather because, well, we knew it was going to be a little bit nasty last night, and right as we started the third quarter, it got a little bit interesting for us because everybody in the stadium got a vibration on their phone and an alert that said there was a tornado warning. And really, that kind of freaked me out being on the air when that was happening.
Yeah, it was so funny because when the tornado warning went off on everybody's phone, everybody held their phone up. It looked like it was a concert, like a rock concert, you know, where they waved the phones around. I mean, every single person in the crowd looked at their phone. And as it turned out, we probably could have played into the fourth quarter, but a good call was made. You know, when you got 2,500 people out in the stands, you want to make sure they're safe. So while it did kind of cut short the homecoming night and all the good vibrations we had, it was good to get everybody out safe on the road and home and look ahead to next week. And it did prevent the Bullpups from possibly sustaining any freak injuries in the game. Knock on wood, but this team is about as healthy a team as I've seen in a long time. The only player that's been hurt basically all year has been Gabe Hoover, and he's back now.
Yeah.
And had a couple nice plays last night. But the Bullpups, like we said, after the first series by Rose Hill, the defense dominated. Jace Alexander, another big turnover. He came up with a fumble recovery that led to the fourth touchdown of the night. Bullpup scored three touchdowns in the last 4 minutes of the first half. It was just a 7-0 game with 5 minutes to go in the first half, and then the Bullpups, as they have done so often, just exploded and then took advantage of a turnover to go from 7-0 to 29-0 at the half.
And you mentioned that the Bullpups are really healthy, and that was not the case for Rose Hill, as the Rockets had about 10 guys on the far sideline in street clothes with crutches and slings, and that makes it a little bit more difficult when you're going up against a better team that's bigger and faster and is healthier, and when your guys are over on the sideline, your best players, and they can't even play.
They had some good-looking kids that were in street clothes. We had a kid up in the press box, probably about a 240-pounder, one of their linemen, and I said to him after the game, I said, man, you guys have had a tough, you know, a lot of injuries. He says, man, it's been a tough year for injuries. It seems like every other day somebody's getting hurt. And I think they only suited up about 30 players last night. They had another 10 on the sidelines. Not a big roster to begin with, but I thought their kids played tough. I'll be honest, I thought they were more competitive than Rose Hill was. Or Augusta, excuse me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's hear what Coach Jace Pavlovich had to say after the game right here on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. Coach Pav, obviously the game ends after about 29 minutes. Not the normal thing in a football game, but what went into the decision tonight to end this one early?
I don't know.
Besides the obvious.
Yeah.
Weather.
I don't know. I was just told that the game was going to be called. So
tornado warning. So.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, tornado
okay.
warning.
I figured there was a good reason. I sure would have loved to play some more football. And there's a lot of guys that we really wanted to get some reps tonight. And, you know, we weren't as crisp as what we wanted to be, and that really made the difference in terms of getting some of those younger guys in.
First, again, 2 weeks in a row, your defense gives up a lot of yards, keeps them out of the end zone, but then they're minus yards the rest of the game. What did they do early that was so effective, and then what did you do to counteract that the rest of the way?
Well, their quarterback's a stud. He's a very good football player. They got great scheme over there. They ran a lot of RPO action, and as aggressive as our defense is, that kind of caught us off guard a little bit. But our guys did settle in, and we went into some of our odd front stuff to try and muddy up the pass run reads in the RPOs. So
saw a lot of three-man line tonight.
Yeah, we did. You know, we really like our odd front, and it's a tribute to our kids. Those guys, they understand what we're trying to do, and it shows out there on the field. We can get into a four-man, a three-man front. We actually do a little bit of everything.
Kind of turns Mendez loose. He's kind of like a center fielder out there. And, boy, it does, when you go with that three-man front, it makes that front three pretty physically imposing.
Well, no question. And any time you can get an offensive lineman thinking, what if? If he slants here, I have to take him. We really like the word if when we're on defense, and that getting kids thinking, playing slow is to definitely to our advantage.
Offensively, Kyler Hoppus threw the ball really well, had I think 11 in a row at one point. He only missed on three all night. Two of those were drops, and you just see him getting better every week.
He really is progressing. We saw that this summer. We saw glimpses of Kyler and what he can do. And honestly, he's done a great job all year of just soaking it all in, watching film. You know, we find out how much film these guys watch on huddle, and you know, he's logging 5-6 hours a week. So he does all of the film study, which puts him in a great position to make plays on the field.
Kinnaman again ran the ball well tonight. First drive, he had about 58 yards, I think, on the first drive. Really was pounding away, and he's a very patient runner. He just doesn't get in a hurry out there.
Yeah, you know. We could have done some more things in the running game, and I would like to have here in the second half. But, you know, we wanted to work on our passing game a little bit too, and we were able to get that done. But I felt that Jace and Austin Hunt ran the ball very well tonight.
Well, last week you guys weren't tested all that often when it came to third downs and fourth downs, mm-hmm. but in this game tonight against Rose Hill, you were faced with several third down opportunities, several fourth down conversions, and when you only punt one time in six possessions, it means you're doing something right, and you found ways to convert mm-hmm. in those situations, which is huge, especially coming into district play next week.
Right. We put ourselves into, you know, third and fourth and manageable, and you know, as a defensive coordinator for many years, when a team is willing to go for it on four downs, that makes it really tough to call a defense. So we like our guys, we trust our guys, and we feel like we can get things done even on fourth down.
Okay, the second season starts next mm-hmm. Friday, our last road trip of the regular season out to Hayes, and that's always a special game for you, having played at Fort Hayes State. Great facilities out there. You know, you're playing in a college stadium, great atmosphere. You got to like the way your team's playing heading to districts.
We really like the way our team's playing, and we're healthy, which is fantastic. No, it's going to be great getting back home, and I know our guys are excited. We've got quite a few kids who are getting recruited by Fort Hayes, and Coach Brown's obviously going to be there with two of his sons playing for Hayes High. So we're really looking forward to that matchup next week.
And a good football team. I mean, they're only 2-3, but their record's really deceiving.
Well, it is. They're playing 5A's and 6A's, and to be honest with you, I really think they're the surprise of 4A. Their kids are, you'll see it next weekend, their kids are physical, they play hard, they definitely pass the eye test. So we're going to be in for a dogfight, we anticipate, next Friday.
Well, I'm sure you've heard that song, "Turn Out the Lights, the Party's Over," yeah. by Willie Nelson. They are literally turning the lights off here at McPherson Stadium after a 35-0 win. Coach Papp, congrats on the win, and now get ready for a tough week, 3 weeks of district play.
Absolutely, thanks, guys.
Jace Pavlovich on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. And Steve Sell, this was a good win for the Bullpups. They did what they needed to do. They didn't get anybody hurt. They played quickly, and they only had to play 29 minutes. And now we look ahead to district play, and we talked about it a little bit ago. Three games, and we will talk a little bit more this week about how district play works. It's pretty simple in times, but when it comes to tiebreakers, it gets a little bit crazy. You play your three teams. It's a four-team district. Essentially, whoever has the best two records gets to advance. Now, if there are two teams that are 2-1, two that are 1-2, and God forbid the three teams that are 2-1 and how awful that mix ends up being, it's fairly simple. And it looks like the Bullpups are the best team in this district, and I think it's easy enough for them to go out, win all three games, and take the district title.
And the thing why you want to win the district is you get a home game in the playoffs, and right now, the Bullpups would be home. If they win their district, they'd be home against the loser of Buellerandale.
That's not a whole lot of fun. That's no
reward.
Of them.
And that also means then you get May South in the second round, and then most likely Bueller in the third round, or Andale, you know, whoever wins that game. But I still like Bueller just because they're experienced. You know, they made it the state championship game last year, got a lot of those guys back. But the Bullpups have missed the playoffs, I believe, only once in the since 2006. They've only missed the playoffs once.
And that would have been 2015.
Yeah, and I think that's the only time they've missed. And that was a year that Abilene was really good, and I can't remember who the other team was. We had a great district that year.
Well, and all these guys that are seniors now were sophomores and starting.
Right. So Bullpups got a lot of experience. They just come out and take care of business. They should be fine. And, boy, who will ever forget that first-round playoff game with Andale last year? Drew Labertue, 13 seconds to go. I think you might have blown a vocal cord when Drew Labertue kicked the game-winning field goal, because that was maybe the most exciting finish in my 39 years at McPherson. That was just amazing. Drew Labertue kicking that field goal. McPherson Stadium is maybe as loud as I've ever heard it. Of course, it was standing room only. I mean, people were spilled down onto the track. Great crowd. And anyway, that was just a great game. And hopefully the Bullpups will win their district and have another home game. I think this year, though, the second round they'd have to go on, you know, with that East-West formula, it changes. So if things play out like they did last year, McPherson would be home and then probably go on the road to play May South, most likely, in the second round.
I thought I might blow a vocal cord last night just because my throat has been so sore all week that on Thursday morning I woke up and went, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk today. But luckily we have made it through there, and now I get a couple of days to just sit and do nothing and not speak to anybody. And so we'll be ready to rock and roll for Monday morning. So That was Jace Pavlovich on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. Coming up after the break, we will talk with Tim Lambert, the head coach of the Smoky Valley Vikings, who are off to a 5-1 start. Don't go anywhere. Be back after this on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
The Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is brought to you by FIMCO, Home State Bank, a part of Citizen State Bank, Next Tech Wireless, Alliance Agency, Art Shirt, The Well, McPherson and Lindsberg Concrete, the Lindsberg Quarterback Club, and Perkins Family Restaurant.
Back on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show on another Saturday morning, Jim Joyner and Steve Sell joining you here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. It was a good night for high school sports in the area and high school football teams, as McPherson, as well as Smoky Valley, as well as Heston, Mound Ridge, and Canton Galva all picked up wins. We'll hear from Canton Galva head coach Shelby Hoppus here in about 15 minutes, but joining us now on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is Smoky Valley head coach Tim Lambert, as the Vikings are off to a 5-1 start. Joining us now on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is Smoky Valley football coach Tim Lambert. And coach, you guys are rolling right now. You're 5-1. You won 22-0 at Lions last night. Give us a little recap of that game.
Well, it was a game that was cut short because of the weather. We played well in the first half, and our defense played well, and thought our kids were ready to play and were well prepared. So it was a good night for us.
When you guys were playing Heston last week, and that game was kind of the talk of the area, a big game against you guys, of course, a 4A, 2, them a 3A, but very similar in competition. And I think a lot of people thought this would be a very close game, but that was not the case. You guys were up 49-6 on Heston early in the second half. You win 49-20, and it seems like a win like that sort of keeps things rolling for you guys, and it definitely has with you guys being now 5-1.
Well, it was a big win for our program. I don't think we'd beaten Heston for 13 years. So it meant a lot to our kids to win that game. It meant a lot to the community, and I think it gave us a lot of confidence that we could play with the best, and so that was exciting.
We're talking with Smoky Valley football coach Tim Lambert on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. And running back Kyle Anderson, boy, has he been putting on a show the last few weeks. 2 touchdowns against Hillsboro, 4 touchdowns against Heston. I mean, he keeps putting up big numbers, and he's been a big help this season.
Well, he had a good season a year ago running the ball. He had over 1,400 yards last year, and he's just a little better. I think he's a little faster this year and runs a little harder. He's a year older, and we knew he was going to have a good year. This right.
We're talking with Smoky Valley football coach Tim Lambert on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show, and I'm sure that you've been keeping up, like everybody else in the area, with the changes that are going on next year with the classifications, and of course Smoky Valley dropping down to 3A for next season. Was this something that you were surprised about, or did everybody kind of anticipate this coming?
Well, when the state put the proposal out, I really didn't think it would pass. So I was surprised that it passed, but I think it's going to be a good deal. I think it's easier to, get your schedule if you got five district games now instead of three, and you're going to be playing schools your own size, and so there's a lot of good things about it. I was surprised that it did pass.
Yeah, and that was the next thing I was going to ask, were some of the pros and cons. You've given some of the pros. What are the cons of having to drop to 3A?
I think it makes the division that we're in a little tougher. 4A2 still has the 32, so next year it'll be the 32 4A2 teams plus the top 16 3A teams that make 3A. So I think the competition level for our, where we play, is going to be tougher, which that's okay.
We're talking with Smoky Valley football coach Tim Lambert on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show, and you mentioned that it's now a five-team district for next season with Chapman, Clay Center, Halstead. You get to play Heston again, as well as Rock Creek. Some of those teams that you're familiar with, but what about the challenges of taking on new teams in a district where this year this is your second year of playing the same district? Will that change some things for next season?
Well, actually, you know, we got put in a district with the same district that we're in now, plus two more of our league schools. So we won't play anybody different next year. So in that sense, it didn't affect us. But I'm sure it affects, you know, a lot of people are going to play teams they probably haven't ever played before. But with us, it didn't happen that way for us.
Well, then that works out nicely. We're talking with Tim Lambert, Smoky Valley football coach on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. Now, with this season's district now coming up starting next week, the final three games of the season, you get Rock Creek at home, you get Chapman at home, and then you're at Clay Center. What do you like about this district, and what do you think needs to happen for you guys to come out of this on top? Besides,
well,
obviously, winning all three.
We continue to get better. I think Clay Center is playing really well right now. I think they're on a roll going into the district play, and I think they're going to be a real tough opponent. Rock Creek is always well coached, and they fight hard. Last year, I think they'd won one or two games going into district, and we didn't beat them until like the last play of the game. So. I think the district's going to be tough. I think you're going to have to come. I think Chapman's improved. I think you're going to have to come every week to play. I think we're capable of winning it, but we got to play well, and we got to continue to get better. We're going to have to fight to do it. It's not going to be easy.
I know you probably don't want to look ahead to the playoffs too much without a playoff berth at hand yet, but if you do make it out of the district, either as the champion or the runner-up, you'll likely match up with either Nickerson or Wichita Collegiate. And last year you guys beat Nickerson in overtime in the first round of the playoffs. Is that sort of how you anticipate the other district going as well?
You know, I don't know. Nickerson is a good football team. I think they've got a shot of beating Collegiate. I just don't pay a whole lot of attention to that stuff early in the year. I really don't know. I've seen Nickerson on film. Looked like they got beat last night, but they've had a really good season. They're talented. So, and I know Collegiate's good too. So I don't know. I think they got a shot of beating Collegiate.
Smoky Valley football coach Tim Lambert on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. Coach, your Vikings are rolling at 5-1, and thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
That was Tim Lambert on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. And Steve, the last time that we had him on, we were doing it live, and his phone service, he must have been down in a dungeon or something, because he was perfect for about 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden, we just completely lost him, and it sounded like the worst interview ever, and so we had to cut him off, and I'm sure that he was going, he didn't even realize it was happening, and so felt bad about that, and luckily we could get him back on, and man, the Vikings are rolling, and that win over Heston last week, we were down at Circle and getting score updates, and it was 49-6 early in that game.
Well, you know, they run that wishbone offense, Brett Heitschmidt at quarterback doing a great job, Kyle Anderson, Riley Odell, Timmy Lambert, Court Elliott, they've got a reservoir of running backs, good play up front. This is a Viking team that, quite frankly, could, they won a first-round game last year and then lost to Pratt, the eventual 4A D2 champion in the second round, and I'm sure they'd like to go farther this year. Pratt, while still very, very good, maybe not quite the team they were last year, but they still have that great running back. I think it's Travis Teese. He's just outstanding, just a junior, too, phenomenal running back, but Coach Lambert, of course, he groomed his, he apprenticed under Ted Kessinger up at Bethany, the legendary Bethany football coach, and comes from a football hotbed, Smith Center. So, he's got a lot of football knowledge.
And when it comes to Little Sweden, are you a big Hillingsfest fan? Will we be seeing you up there?
Probably not, but they do. I've been up there in the past for Hillingsfest, and they really have a lot of fun up there.
Well, I know that Friday it would be tough for us to get up there because we will be on the road to Hayes, but Saturday morning, I know we have a lot of options there. They have the helicopter rides going on, and I think that, Steve, you could put on some traditional Swedish garb.
I could be a clogger.
Yeah, I think that you would fit right in.
Cut a little rug on the brick streets of Lindsberg. I tell you what, Lindsberg is such a unique town. It's unlike any town that you'll ever see. Just a lot of charm and a lot of history in Lindsberg.
That's where you like to do some of your shopping, too, right?
Oh, yeah. You bet.
Oh, yeah.
Thrift store. Can't beat it.
Steve is a man of the bargain. Well, coming up after the break, we will talk with Canton Galva head coach Shelby Hoppus after the Eagles picked up a nice win last night over St. John. You're listening to the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show on 96.7 FM KBBE.
The Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is brought to you by FIMCO, Home State Bank, a part of Citizen State Bank, Next Tech Wireless, Alliance Agency, Art Shirt, The Well, McPherson and Lindsberg Concrete, the Lindsberg Quarterback Club, and Perkins Family Restaurant.
Back on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, as the Bullpups picked up a win last night over Rose Hill in a weather-shortened game, and that was the way the week kind of went all the way across the state last night, with a lot of teams having to either play games early or get games postponed or canceled or just ended early because of the weather, and it was a long night in terms of weather across the state, and some teams weren't affected at all, and nobody really got rained on too hard, especially here in McPherson, but the games were canceled because of a tornado warning that popped up at around 7:30 last night. So now joining us on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is Canton Galva head football coach Shelby Hoppus after the Eagles picked up their third win of the season, which matches their win total from the last 2 years combined. Joining us now on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is Canton Galva football coach Shelby Hoppus. And coach, it's good to talk to you after a win last night. You guys are now 3-3 on the season. You beat St. John 66-32 last night. Give us a little recap of that game.
Well, we, like a lot of teams in the state, we had our start time moved up to 5 o'clock. And being on the road, that means our leave time moved up and everything else. So we had to get our kids' minds ready for that adjustment. And we didn't do a great job of that. Came out in the first half and executed okay, but just not at the level that I thought we should have. So got to halftime with a 10-point lead and made some adjustments. Gave them a little talking to about energy level and effort and just going out and having fun. So came out in the second half and took care of business.
Yeah, and last night was a whole lot more fun for you guys than the last couple of weeks. We talked to you after the Wakefield game, but then a loss to Central Plains as well. And it's a whole lot more fun to be winning, huh?
Yeah, being on the winning side's, the bus ride home's always a lot different when you get the W. So that was something that we talked about all week long and went out and took care of business. So,
well, we mentioned that you guys are off to a 3-3 start to the season, and that matches your win total from the last two seasons combined. And I know that that doesn't mean as much to you since this is just your first season, but I think probably to the kids who have been a part of it, it would mean a little bit more, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And right now we're just focusing on week to week, and we're still fighting for a playoff spot. So we're trying to not look in the past too much and just build for the future and take care, start preparing for Little River this week.
We're talking with Canton Galva football coach Shelby Hoppus on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show, and we talked a moment ago about the losses to Wakefield and to Central Plains last Friday, and I think we knew that Central Plains would be a really good team, but what do you talk with your team about after a couple of tough losses like that to try and turn things around, especially like this week going into the game at St. John last night?
Well, the Wakefield game was very disappointing to us because we don't feel as though that team was better than us. We gave one up to a team that that we should have competed against and should have earned a victory against. The Central Plains game's a little different because they're a really, really good football team, really well coached. All juniors and seniors on that team, and we knew that was going to be a fight going in. We wanted to compete more than we did, but after the game, you just have to move on. I told them there's one of two routes we can take. We can take, you know, route A, to where we revert to the past and we let one loss become two, which we had already done, and then two become three, three become four, and so on. Or we can choose to take another route, and that is we went to work on Monday, we got better, prepared for St. John all week, and went out and got a win.
Well, you talked about it on this show a couple of weeks ago that whenever you took over this job, almost right before the season started, that everything was brand new for this team, and a lot of guys were having to figure out a new offense, a new defense, new special teams. But how much progress do you think that you've made so far with getting everybody familiar just in these first 6 weeks?
We've made a lot of progress. They know the scheme now. They know the offense. It's all in. Now it's just going out and executing it, because not only put something brand new in with a short amount of time, we're also working with mostly freshmen and sophomores with very little to no prior experience coming into the season. So they're still just getting their feet wet as far as varsity football and how fast the game is and how one little step the wrong way gets you beat. And in junior high, it didn't do that. So we have a lot of freshmen playing, and we're doing well. We're learning every day, but they still make mistakes that they shouldn't, and that'll just come with time and experience.
We're talking with Canton Galva football coach Shelby Hoppus on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. Now, you guys have three more games left in the season with a five-team district. What needs to happen for you guys sitting at 1-1 in this district for you guys to make the playoffs? And are you thinking that you'll have to win out, or is there a chance that you could possibly go 2-1 and still get in?
There's always a chance we could go 2-1 and get in. I think a major upset would have to happen with the three teams that are left. Winning out would be the best solution. I mean, if we just go take care of we control our own destiny. If we can go take care of business, we'll be in a great spot.
Well, you guys have three games coming up with Little River, Gossel, and Ellenwood. And when it comes to Little River, one of the closer teams that you will play, a little bit of a rivalry. What do you expect to see in these next three games coming up?
Well, you have to take it 1 week at a time. You can't look past anybody, and you definitely can't look past a team like Little River. They are big, they're physical, they're well-coached, and they're going to be ready to play. And I told the kids after the Central Plains game as well that not only did we get beat bad, we got beat bad on our home field. And when you are defending your home field, you need to have another level that you can take it to and you know, protect your home field. So we'll give that talk again, and hopefully Friday night we prepare all week and we come out and play well.
Again, another one of our area matchups with two teams that we cover going head-to-head this Friday night with Little River taking on Canton Galva. Coach Shelby Hoppus, Coach Canton Galva, thanks for joining us this morning on the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show.
All right, thank you.
Shelby Hoppus and Steve Sell, this has been another fast show as we're almost done with this thing, and now we've got to talk a little bit about the McPherson High School teams other than football, as it's a big week coming up, and volleyball already in action today at the Roundhouse for their Invitational.
Yeah, what a great feel there is. There's going to be one really good team left out of the Final Four. It's kind of a top-heavy feel. Five teams are just outstanding. Unfortunately, only four can make the semifinals. McPherson, despite being 25-4, is the number two seed. Goddard, a much bigger school, 22-2. Then you've got Nickerson, which just handed Kingman its first loss of the year this week. Nickerson's in the field. You got Bishop Carroll. And the other really good team escapes me right now for whatever reason. I can't think of it offhand. But they're already underway. That's going to be, that'll be a really outstanding tournament. Of course, the regional tennis tournament going on up in Lindsborg. McPherson's already qualified both singles players. Sienna Allen got through. Rachel Carlson's through. We got a doubles team. Maisie Edmondson and Taylor Bruce are through. The other doubles team. Still, we're not sure if they're going to make it or not, but the Bullpups definitely well on their way to a, probably a regional championship up there. I know Smoky Valley's Kira Haxton was in the semifinals and singles as well. So Bullpup's doing well there. Big week coming up for McPherson High boys soccer team. Three games in 4 days, two of them right here on 96.7. We have Hutchinson here on Monday, to Bueller on Tuesday, and then Valley Center here on Thursday. You play Hutch and Bueller back-to-back. That's going to be emotionally draining for Chris Adrian's team, who won a very emotional game on Thursday. They had a big 3-0 lead over Salina South. The Cougars came back, got it within 3-2, had a couple chances to tie it up. The Bullpups held them off. McPherson really... I believe that's 8-3 now for the Bullpups, if I'm not mistaken. And Coach Adrian really has this team going. They had those three straight 10-0 games, which they really didn't get a whole lot out of. But, you know, they're playing a real gauntlet right now.
Well, yeah, when at first you said, yeah, they played a real emotional game last week, and the first thing that popped in my head was the El Dorado game. And I went, what game did you watch? That wasn't much of an emotional game. But, yeah, the win against Salina South, a big win for them. And, yeah, a couple of tough tests this week. And also, cross-country running today at El Dorado, and with the tennis team, as long as they can qualify for state and get a couple people through, which it looks like they will, that will be going on at the end of this week as well.
Yeah, that'll be in Pratt, and the Bullpups, like I say, they're assured of both singles players moving on. Maisie Edmondson, Taylor Bruce, and doubles. That tournament playing out up there at the Ron Dalston Tennis Complex. What a great complex that is. And name for a great man, Mr. D, as they all call him up in Lindsborg. A legendary tennis coach. Of course, his son, Mark, is the tennis coach at Heston. He's produced some powerhouse teams down there at Heston. He's been coaching for about 30 years. Has had some just fantastic teams at Heston. So we're starting to wind it down for fall sports,
yeah.
Jim. Tennis will be done next week no matter what. Volleyball's getting close. Of course, they have to go to Ulysses for their sub-state. My goodness, that's what a trip that is. They have Bueller and Hayes along with Ulysses. Bullpups will be favored in that sub-state. That'd be 8 years in a row Christy Doyle's team's made state. Cross-country should have their league meet coming up. Probably, I'm guessing, next week, league meet, and then they have regional. They'll have a hard time getting some, you know, that regional cross-country meet, they'll have a hard time qualifying anybody for state, but Coach Aspen Lott has a very young team. The girls' team has had a especially nice year, and again, she has very few seniors and has the numbers way up there, so Aspen doing a great job. Just been a fantastic fall for all the McPherson High sports teams, that's for sure.
And I don't think that we've talked about this yet, but on Tuesday, volleyball will be playing a triangular at Clearwater, where they get to take on Rose Hill again. And the last time that the Bullpups took on Rose Hill in volleyball, it was not very pretty for them, and I think that Christy Doyle's team is looking to play a whole lot better this time around against the Rockets.
Yeah, it was really ugly when we played them here. I think one match we only scored 6, the other we scored 10. Rose Hill undefeated last. I saw the updated records. They're 28-0. They've only lost, I think, 2 sets all year. Like I say, they've only been taking the 3 sets twice. They've got the Vandreel girl who is just phenomenal as a junior. As a sophomore, she committed to KU. She's only a junior now, and I think she could play for KU right now the way she can play. She is just unbelievable, about 6'2", 6'3", a great leaper. But, of course, the Bullpups volleyball team, they want to get back to state at Salina. They've been a staple up there along with Miege, Lewisburg. It seems like those three schools are always in the hunt up there. So, you know, volleyball having another great year. And, you know, we thought this was going to be a rebuilding year for Coach Doyle's team. She lost a lot of standouts from last year. And the Bullpups, 25-4 so far this season.
Yeah, very good. And, of course, football coming up this weekend that will take on Hayes. You and I will make the trek over there. What, about an hour and a half? Straight up 135 and then
straight
west.
About an hour and 45 minutes. But, boy, it's like we're in a luxury suite up there. We call the game. We're way up above at Fort Hayes State. Of course, it seats about 6,000 people out there. You know, there could be 2,000 people there, and it looks like the place is half empty. So, big stadium. Fort Hayes, by the way, undefeated so far this year in football. They're having a great year out there. And the coach, Chris Brown, his two sons are like the two best players for Hayes that we'll see next week.
I really wish that we had an MIAA team that was a little bit closer and that we could follow that and get to cover that a little bit more, because that league is just so good. I mean, I know Emporia is what,
Emporia,
about an hour, hour and 15.
McPherson High grad Marcus Houghton starts for Emporia, and he was actually their representative at Media Day before the season started. He's a senior and really doing a great job. And what I remember about Marcus Houghton is the game in the district we played here against Emporia. Marcus Houghton got stopped at about the 6-inch line, and that kept us out of going to the playoffs. We lost 66-63 that game to Emporia.
Ooh, yeah, real low-scoring contest. So get this, Steven. This does not really pertain to McPherson very much, but my dad sent me a newspaper article this morning from a game in Little Rock in Arkansas. The final score was Pulaski Academy 86, Little Rock Christian 56, and Pulaski Academy is the team that never punts and always goes for it on fourth
down. Oh, that's
down,
right.
Always
yeah.
onside kicks. They accumulated 965 yards. 13 out of 14 possessions, they scored a touchdown. Oh, boy. We thought we saw some offense last week against Circle. That doesn't even come close.
Well, you know, back in 2011, 2012, when the Bullpups had an offense, I remember when we played in the postseason. In fact, I think we had only 9 punts all year. Going into the very last game we played, when we
got
eliminated.
One punt a game.
Yeah, we had several games where we didn't punt. We were Tyler Matthews was a quarterback. He had Jordan Hart, Christian Olsaker's receivers, Kevin O'Connor, Seth Davenport's running back. We made the 50-point game, 48-point game pretty commonplace, because I think that team averaged almost 50 points a game that season.
Look at that. Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show number 7 is officially in the books, and another great week coming up. Another great week has just been capped off by this show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show on 96.7 FM KBBE.
The Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show is brought to you by FIMCO, Home State Bank, a part of Citizen State Bank, Next Tech Wireless, Alliance Agency, Art Shirt, The Well, McPherson and Lindsberg Concrete, the Lindsberg Quarterback Club, and Perkins Family Restaurant. Thanks for listening to the Perkins Family Restaurant Coaches Show. Make sure to listen every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.